911 emergency.
Yes, I'm in the middle of the field. It's like we're just pushing guys over. Right here going towards Javelin on both sides. My truck ran out of gas. There's one car here. Got to take it to the woods. Please hurry.
Okay, now run that by me.
I'm not talking to him. I actually ran into him.
Ah, you ran into him. Okay.
That's the first guy.
Do you need an ambulance?
Yeah, no, I need the cops.
Okay. Is anybody hurt? Hello? Hello?
What is up, EWU crew? Today, we are covering the mysterious disappearance of Coke County family man, Brandon Lawson. Our story begins in the rather small town of San Angelo, Texas, on the evening of August 8, 2013. Just before midnight, 26-year-old Brandon Lawson and his longtime girlfriend, LaDessa Lofton, had a rather heated argument. Brandon worked at San Angelo's Renegade Oil Services. That week, LaDessa noted Brandon had worked over 60 hours and had not even returned home the night before. As Brandon had a rather tumultuous relationship with drug addiction and had relapsed recently, LaDessa was rightfully furious that he had stayed out instead of coming home to her and their four children. In the heat of the moment, Brandon decided to walk away from the argument. Around 11:30, he called his father, Bradley Lawson, and asked if he could spend the night at his home in Crawley. The drive would take him around 3.5 hours, but Brandon was angry and exhausted, so the travel time seemed worth it. At 11:53 p.m., Brandon left his home in San Angelo and hit the road. While cruising down Highway 67, Brandon received a call from a worried LaDessa asking him to please reconsider going all the way to Crawley in the middle of the night. She expressed that if he did not want to come home, he could at least stay at his brother's house, which was only 5 miles away. LaDessa and Brandon were high school sweethearts who argued like any other couple. At the end of the day, they cared more about each other than any argument they may have had. It is assumed that Brandon decided to take LaDessa's advice and actively turned his Ford F-150 around. He headed north on Highway 277 in the direction of his brother Kyle's house, though that did not necessarily mean that he intended to go there. Rather, he could have decided to take a longer route to his father's home. Though at first consideration, taking a longer route to his destination in the middle of the night does not seem to make much sense. Brandon could have had his reasons. 2 years prior, Brandon Lawson had received a warrant for possession with intent to deliver. As this warrant was still active, he may have wanted to avoid any potential run-ins with police, leading him to choose a more indirect route through the back roads of Coke County. Regardless of why he decided to hop on Highway 277, doing so would end up changing his life and the lives of his family members forever. Looking down at the dashboard in front of him, Brandon realized that his truck was almost out of gas. He had been nearly 30 minutes away from the nearest gas station when his truck rolled to a stop near Brant, Texas. Brandon's truck was blocking the lane slightly, but his lack of fuel meant that he could not adjust it. Frustrated, he called his brother Kyle around 12:30, asking him to meet him on the side of the road with a gas can. The request for a gas can was not all that transpired in the conversation between the Lawson brothers. Brandon's voice was panicky, and the things he was saying to Kyle just didn't add up. After begging his brother to rush the gasoline to him, Brandon mentioned to Kyle that he was being followed. In fact, Brandon used an expletive to refer to three Mexican men who were apparently chasing him out of town. After hearing his brother's outlandish comments, Kyle's first thought was that Brandon must have relapsed once more. Meth-induced hallucinations, combined with Brandon's obvious exhaustion, served as a perfect explanation of why he would be so anxious. Brandon was adamant that he was not high, but he desperately needed his brother to hurry. Kyle ended the phone call with Brandon and called LaDessa to let her know what was going on. LaDessa, still angry over the argument with her fiancé, said she would leave a gas canister outside of the house that Kyle could pick up on his way to help Brandon. As Brandon had taken the only working wall charger the couple had in their home, LaDessa decided to leave her phone in her truck to charge overnight. She placed a gas can on the porch as promised before going back into the house to shower and go to sleep. As she drifted off to sleep, LaDessa had no idea about the turmoil that lay ahead of her. Kyle, his girlfriend Audrey, and their 4-year-old son hopped into Kyle's truck and headed out on their mission to bring Brandon enough gas to get him to the Stripes convenience store and gas station in Bront. After picking up the gas can from Ladessa in Brandon's front porch, Kyle realized that his most recent paycheck from work had yet to clear in his bank account. As a result, he did not have the funds to fill up the gas canister as he had initially intended. Instead, he decided it would be best to meet up with a stranded Brandon, get some cash from him, head to the gas station to fill up the can, and then return to Brandon's truck. In the time it took for Kyle to phone Ladessa, pick up the gas can, and continue down Highway 277, two important things occurred. One of them involved a total stranger phoning the local police department to report an abandoned truck blocking part of the northbound lane. Coke County had extremely limited resources in terms of a police task force. At the time, calls would be answered by staff members working at a nursing home in Robert Lee. The dispatcher who received the call from the random motorist assumed that the abandoned truck owner must have run out of gas. As this happened rather frequently, the dispatcher reached out to an officer on duty, Deputy Neal from the Coke County Sheriff's Office, who responded right away. The second event that happened before Kyle arrived at where his brother's truck was parked was another 911 call. This call was made by Brandon himself and was not mentioned by anyone until 3 days later, when Ladessa checked his phone records. At 12:50 a.m., Brandon called a different dispatcher at the same nursing home in Robert Lee, sounding terrified and frantic.
911 emergency.
Yes, I'm in the middle of the field. The state we're just pushing guys over. Right here going towards Javelin on both sides.
Brandon explained to the dispatcher that he was in the middle of a field and that he was being chased.
My truck ran out of gas. There's one car here. I got to take it to the woods. Please hurry.
Okay, now run that by me.
I'm not talking to him. I actually ran into him.
You ran into him. Okay.
Got the first guy.
When the dispatcher asked Brandon if he needs an ambulance, he says no, he needs the cops.
Do you need an ambulance?
Yeah, no, I need the cops.
Okay. Is anybody hurt?
Shortly after his plea for the cops, Brandon stops responding to the dispatcher's questions and the call drops.
Hello? Hello?
It is assumed that the dispatcher had dismissed Brandon's 911 call when it dropped, and she could not contact him again. In fact, no officers were dispatched in response to Brandon's call. A minute after Brandon called 911, Kyle made another effort to call Brandon. Brandon did not answer, so Kyle left him a voicemail. Brandon had not been able to answer his brother's call because he had been trying to call Ladessa. Because his wife had left her phone in the car to charge, she was wholly unaware that Brandon was even trying to reach her. Another minute later, Audrey tried to call Brandon. He did not answer. She called Brandon again. He did not answer. 2 minutes later, Kyle tried to call Brandon. He did not answer. At 12:57, Brandon attempted to call his neighbor, perhaps in an effort to get in touch with Ladessa. With no luck, Brandon hung up and called Kyle back. His spotty connection made it so that his call could not go through. He called Kyle again and faced the same problem. Brandon's neighbor tried to call him back. The call did not connect. The neighbor tried again. The call did not connect. The neighbor tried a third and final time to reach Brandon. The call did not connect. At 1:04 a.m., the dispatcher attempted to call Brandon back in hopes of getting more information on what exactly was going on. Brandon did not answer. She left a voicemail and called again. Brandon did not answer. 5 minutes later, Brandon called Kyle 3 times. All 3 calls did not connect. When Kyle Lawson pulled up behind his brother's abandoned truck along the 277 at 1:10 in the morning, he was not expecting to see Deputy Neal in his police car parked nearby. Kyle and Audrey's first thought upon seeing Brandon's truck was that he appeared to have left it in a hurry. The back end of the truck was over the line, protruding into the northbound lane as the motorist had reported to the dispatcher. In addition to its skewed parking job, the truck's doors were all unlocked. Brandon, along with his keys, wallet, and cell phone, were all missing from the vehicle. Kyle and Brandon were finally able to contact each other, even though Brandon was nowhere to be seen. Kyle assumed that his brother must have been hiding nearby due to his active warrant. On this call, Brandon mentions to Kyle, "I can see you. I'm right here." Kyle decided to tell Deputy Neal that the truck belonged to his brother and that he had come to bring Brandon enough gas to get back on the road. Kyle purposefully left out the notion that Brandon was still nearby and mentioned instead that Brandon must have started walking in the direction of the gas station despite the spotty phone service in the area. After the conversation between Deputy Neal and Kyle ended, Kyle tried to call Brandon three more times. All three calls did not connect. At 1:15, Brandon attempted to call Kyle twice. Both calls failed to connect. A few moments later, Audrey sent a text to Brandon to let him know that the officer was still present. Both Audrey and Kyle were operating under the assumption that Brandon wanted to avoid the police, as they had no idea that Brandon himself had attempted to request officers earlier. After successfully receiving Audrey's message, Brandon was able to call her. Though the connection was still spotty, he told Audrey and Kyle that he was about 10 minutes down the road and bleeding. If he had mentioned how the bleeding had started or where he was bleeding from, Audrey and Kyle could not decipher his jumbled words through the poor quality of the phone call. Kyle decided that Brandon would be more likely to come out of his hiding place after Deputy Neal was gone. He turned his truck around and headed back towards San Angelo until they were just far enough away from Brandon's vehicle that the officer could no longer see them. Kyle and Audrey waited around 30 to 45 minutes for Brandon to emerge from wherever he had been hiding. During this time, their four-year-old son was growing tired and hungry as it was the middle of the night and they had not yet been able to sleep. Deciding to do what was best for his family, Kyle decided to abandon his waiting post and bring his son and girlfriend home. He briefly stopped at Brandon's truck to place the empty gas canister in the trunk, assuming that Brandon would eventually return and be able to acquire his own gas. If not, Kyle planned on returning to the truck with the gas himself once his check cleared in the morning. Around 2 a.m., Kyle and Audrey arrived at their home, fed their son, and put him to bed. Audrey decided to stay at the house to watch over their son and get some sleep. Kyle's check finally cleared, and at around 3 a.m., any calls made to Brandon's phone had gone straight to voicemail. His phone had either been turned off or the battery had died. Either way, no one could get in touch with Brandon. At around 4 a.m. in the morning, LaDessa retrieved her phone from its charging spot in the car. She was shocked at the overflow of missed calls from Brandon, Kyle, and the Lawson brothers' mother. Anxiously, LaDessa dialed Brandon's phone number. The call went straight to voicemail. Assuming Brandon must not have had service, LaDessa called Kyle, who recounted the strange activities that occurred throughout the night. Assuming that Deputy Neal surely would have left the scene since Kyle and Audrey had, Kyle decided to head back out to Highway 277. He picked up one of his friends on the way, and the two of them filled a gas can up around 5 gallons of gasoline to put into Brandon's truck if need be. When he got back to Brandon's pickup truck at around 5 in the morning, everything was just as he had left it. The truck was in the same position. The doors were still locked, as Brandon was the only person who had a key to the vehicle, and Brandon was nowhere to be seen. Kyle and his friend filled up Brandon's tank alongside the road. Once they had finished, Kyle yelled out that there were no more police officers in the area and that Brandon's truck had enough gas to get him to the gas station in Bront. He received silence in return. At that moment, panic began to set in for Kyle. He walked up and down the highway near his brother's truck and called out for him in desperation. Nothing stirred in the field nearby. At 8:30 a.m., Brandon Lawson's pickup truck was towed. At 9 a.m., a shocked and distressed LaDessa filed a missing person report as she learned bits and pieces of the events that had occurred while she slept. The next day, August 10th, Deputy Neal took it upon himself to search the land and surrounding area. Many of the properties along Highway 277 were only lived in seasonally, meaning that if anything was out of place or disturbed, it would have been from Brandon. Deputy Neal found no evidence that any of the fields had been disturbed, and there was no trace of blood anywhere. Or at least, that is what local enforcement reported. The lack of blood did not make much sense, as Brandon had mentioned to Kyle and Audrey that he had been bleeding. On August 11th, a private search team set out to look for any sign of Brandon. Despite the use of cadaver dogs, infrared cameras, and a pilot providing a bird's-eye perspective, no evidence of Brandon, dead or alive, was ever recovered. Just like that, Brandon Lawson disappeared. As one could assume, There are a plethora of theories regarding Brandon Lawson's mysterious disappearance. Could he have staged the whole incident and left Coke County on his own? Did he do so because he was tired of being a father and a common law husband with a warrant out for his arrest? Was he high on methamphetamine or other drugs that caused him to hallucinate and get himself lost in the woods before succumbing to elements? Did he stumble upon some sort of secretive activity on behalf of law enforcement, causing the police to get rid of him and create an elaborate cover-up? Or was he truly being chased that evening, as he mentioned to his brother and the dispatcher? For the past 7 years, Brandon's family have been mulling over these possibilities and countless others. Brandon's father insists that the warrant out for his arrest did not scare him enough to run away. In fact, Brandon was apparently working on getting the warrant issue resolved. Many investigators following this case have noted that just before Brandon's disappearance, he had cashed his 401k with Renegade Oil Services as he planned on starting a new job the following Monday morning. Many people speculate that if Brandon had planned on running away, cashing his 401k would have made perfect sense. However, LaDessa has remarked that she is unaware if he have ever received the money. In fact, she notes that his last paycheck from work had been direct deposited the night he had gone missing, but none of his debit or credit cards were ever used, and the money was never withdrawn from his account. Coke County law enforcement has repeatedly stated that they do not believe that any foul play was involved with Brandon Lawson's disappearance. As Brandon was a grown man, police assume he had left San Angelo on his own accord, as there is little evidence to convince them otherwise. This assertion, along with Brandon's character assassination that was published in the Coke County newspaper following his disappearance, allowed for Brandon's case to go cold. Announcing that the man who had gone missing was a drug addict struggling with a methamphetamine relapse did not exactly help bring the community together to find him. Despite the multitude of unanswered questions and the overall lack of closure on behalf of his family, online communities and outside investigators are devoted to discovering the truth about Brandon Lawson's disappearance one day. Anyone with information on the whereabouts or disappearance of Brandon Lawson should contact the Coke County Sheriff's Office at 325-453-2717. If you enjoyed this video, be sure to hit the like button and subscribe. A playlist is going to pop up right now with more videos you'll love. See you guys next time.